Well, had he not been otherwise committed to an event in Johannesburg, Darby Roach would have been with us at the BizNews conference to give us his insights on the budget. Well, what a day that would have been. That was the 12th of March. This followed the 19th of February budget that didn't happen. We're going to find out from him now on the latest dramatic development. You know, we don't like to exaggerate these things, but man, this is an important move that Action SA has come in, supported the ANC, made it so that the budget will pass, and could it be the end of the government of national unity? Darby, never a dull moment in our country, is there?
It's a lot of fun, Alec. Actually, I like what's going on because, I mean, that's democracy at work, isn't it? But no, I'm not too concerned.
Okay, so let's just go back here. The fact that Action SA decided to support or to vote in favor of the budget. I spoke to Ethel Trollope at 6 o'clock this morning, and he was giving all kinds of reasons why it made a lot of sense that they need to be pragmatic and they're going to cut the expenses, etc. But the DA guys came straight back to me and they said he's not telling the truth because there are really two options in voting. You either vote for the budget as it is or you reject it as it is. And Action SA is now voting for it and it's going ahead. But who's telling the truth here?
No, that's the fact. I mean, you either vote for the budget or you vote against the budget. I don't know if the ANC will get enough support to vote to get the 201 that they require to get the budget passed. But it looks as if they're very close to that. I think the main issue here is not really about VAT. Everybody's talking about VAT, and that's the sticking point. And the main issue here is who's going to blink first, it seems to me. And that's what the political parties are trying to see if they can. This is a game of chicken, I suppose. They want to see who's going to sit with the egg on their face in the end. If the ANC does not force through an increase in VAT, then they will sit with the egg on the face. And if they actually succeed in forcing through half a percent increase in VAT, then they will come out, well, I guess, looking fairly good after this budget. I think this is a lose-lose for the ANC. If they succeed in doing this, everybody's going to point fingers at the ANC and say, you increase taxes, and especially in the poor. If they don't succeed in doing this, they would have leaked first. I guess this is a lose for the ANC. It doesn't matter how you look at it.
But why are they pushing this so hard, given that it is a lose-lose situation? And we know the ANC's strategic decisions have not always been that sharp, but surely they would see this as well.
Okay, now let's get into the numbers. And I think here are the reasons for this. We know what the fiscal debt situation, what it looks like. And remember, and I can give you the numbers, but I think you've got it. It's about 76% of GDP. That is the debt to GDP ratio at the moment. But that does not include all the debt, Alec. You actually have to include the debt of the local authorities, or at least part of that. And there we're talking about a couple of billion. The outstanding debt of the local authorities to Eskom only is about 110, 120 billion at the moment. And then you also have to include some of the debt which are explicitly or implicitly guaranteed by the state for the state-owned enterprises. And if you include all that debt, then you're going to get a completely different number, probably in the region of about 95% of GDP. So the reality is that the debt situation is really dire. That's the first point. The second point is that if you look at the fiscal deficit, currently hovering around about 5% or so, and the fiscal deficit consists of two important variables. The one is how much money you're going to borrow, and the second one, what is the size of the economy? Because we always express that as a ratio, X percent of GDP. So currently, it's roughly about 5% of GDP. This economy, the Minister of Finance told us this economy is going to grow close to 2%. I really doubt that. So that means simply because the economy is going to be smaller, the deficit to GDP and also the debt to GDP is also going to get move in the wrong direction. So that's the second and very important point. The third and very important point is that being the ANC, being a bunch of socialists, they like to spend money. They believe they can spend money much better than the private sector. So they do not want to cut back on state spending. Ideologically, they want to spend more money, not less money, because they've got all sort of silly ideas like NHI and maybe eventually a basic income grant and stuff like that. So spending less money is not part of the ANC's agenda. And apart from that, there are many people wanting to also dig their fingers into getting a contract somewhere or a tender somewhere and stuff like that. This is important for the ANC. This is what keeps the ANC alive, state spending.
Okay.
So that means that the only alternative for the ANC now is to get some more money in. Now I've analyzed all these taxes and I can go through all the taxes. The most important one is personal income taxes. Personal income taxes, and just an interesting one, personal income tax collections mostly, but some of the other taxes also, reported an over-collection of about 8 billion rand in the previous financial year. So it is actually not really necessary to increase VAT by 0.5% or so, because it's actually less than that what you actually need, because there was an over-collection in the previous financial year. But anyway, personal income taxes, you cannot increase personal income taxes because we are already over that so-called Laffer curve. There was an increase in personal income taxes. This bracket creep is nothing but an increase in personal income taxes. So that one is just not on. You can't increase personal income taxes. The second one that you can look at is perhaps company taxes. But again, you can't do that because our company taxes are just far too high. And then the third one, the only remaining significant revenue source for the state is value-added tax. That's the only one remaining. And that will bring in, the minister said that will bring in 13 billion for 0.5% increase. I don't think so. I think it's going to be far less than that. But that's the only significant tax revenue source that remains. There are a couple of rats and mice that you can try to increase as well, but that's not going to make a difference. So the point is, they can't spend less because of political reasons. They need more money, and the only alternative is then for them to increase VAT. And that's going to be bad for the economy. That's the reason. That's the reason why they're going for VAT. That's the only one.
The way you've unpacked it there, we seem to be not just the ANC in a lose-lose situation, but South Africa as a whole. Because if we cannot cut back on the government spending, which is really out of control. I loved the example that Mark Burke from the DA gave, where he said that in real terms, the budget today is three times that of the Mandela budget. That just sounds out of control. And I don't know if he's absolutely accurate on that. In other words, taking away the inflation. But if that's the case, added your focus that the philosophy is spend more, become a greater force in the economy, we do seem to be getting to a point of no return pretty quickly.
Yeah, one way of looking at the size of the state is simply to express state expenditure as a percentage of GDP. And in 1970, if I remember correctly, state to GDP, spending to GDP was about 15%. And today, it's close to about 35%. So there was more than a doubling in the relative size of the state. But again, what is your definition of the state? Shouldn't you include things like, for example, the road accident fund? The road accidents fund actual deficit is a couple of hundreds of billions of rands. I haven't even included that in my debt numbers, by the way. But, you know, when you have such extremely high levels of state debt to GDP, then you become very, very vulnerable at all sort of other levels. Now, let me give you one example. If Donald Trump decides tomorrow morning that he's going to implement some sort of financial sanction against South Africa, that is going to hurt really badly, because typically the Americans, the last quarter, the Americans bought, there's something called portfolio flows. Portfolio flows are when foreigners typically will come and buy our bonds in the bond market or our equities on the JSE and stuff like that. Now the Americans, the last most recent numbers, the last quarter, the Americans bought 50% of all portfolio flows were from the Americans, from the United States. So if Donald Trump tells them, listen, you're not allowed to buy South African bonds anymore, with this extremely high levels of debt, and see what's going to happen. The bond yield's going to bomb out, pick a number. Currently, it's trading the long end of the yield curve is trading at about 11%. That's going to bomb out to 15 or whatever percent. Who's going to pick up those bonds? And it's probably going to be the local banks. And they are already holding a lot of government bonds. And the Reserve Bank already indicated that they're concerned about the banks holding too much government bonds. And when yields go up, the value of those instruments go down. And that means that balance sheets of banks can come under pressure. And that means all sort of other bad things. A weaker currency, high interest rates, weaker economic growth and stuff like that. So we are extremely, extremely vulnerable because of our high fiscal debt situation. I just want to say the banks in South Africa are very well capitalized. There's nothing wrong with the banks. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with the banks. I just want to make the point that if we continue on this trajectory, we are going to get in a situation where things are going to go seriously and badly wrong. The only alternative is for the state to cut state spending. And there are ample space for cutting state spending.
But they don't want to, because philosophically, that's against the way that they stand, what they stand for.
Not only philosophically, well, there are four things that the ANC stand for. The one is the ANC stand for something leftish, socialist, developmental, or somewhere left. They even call one another silly names like comrade. That's the one thing they stand for. And because of their ideology, they got stuck somewhere in the 1920s. Because of their ideology, they have certain policies. And I can give it to you. Expropriation, NHI, all these sort of things, which believe that the state can do stuff better than the private sector. The third thing that the ANC stands for is cadre deployment. And another word for cadre deployment is incompetence. And the fourth thing that the ANC quite often stand for as well is just normal corruption. Those are the four things that they stand for. And if that is your business plan, there's no room for cutting back on state spending.
So the ANC is just driving through its philosophy. The DA is right to be standing firm on this?
In fact, I would even go further. Now, I know SARS is doing a very good job. And I know Kiesvetter wants more money because he reckons there's hundreds of billions of rands of outstanding tax out there that he can collect. I do not like the fact that the Minister of Finance allocated more than 7 billion more to SARS as well. I'm against that. And the reason why I'm against that is because if SARS is successful in collecting all those taxes, it comes down to another tax increase. It is as simple as that. You're taking more money out of the private sector and give it to the state. So I'm completely against any measure that is going to give more money in the hands of the Minister of Finance. The only way you can get politicians to spend less money is to give them less money. And that's where we are now. We must cut back on state spending. And there are many places, and I can give you examples of many places where we can cut back on state spending. But the first place for the Minister of Finance to start is to do something symbolic. That's crucially important. And something symbolic will be to cut back on that 2 billion rand that they spent on the blue light brigades, for example. Just do that. And it will be a sign to the rest of us that they're actually trying to cut back on this unnecessary state spending as well.
Dobby, I know you look at things happening around the world. In the United States, Elon Musk and the Doge project, every day they bring out information to show 3 billion, 4 billion has been saved. And they're doing a pretty good job on that if you believe that it's right to cut state spending. But my question to you is, if it's possible to take so much out of the American budget where people in the government supposedly are appointed on merit, in South Africa where people are not appointed on merit, where it's cadre deployment, do you have any sense of how much we might be wasting or how much of our taxes might be wasted?
Yeah, Kim, let me give you one number. We spend, let me get the number. I have to get it off the top of my head. Somewhere probably about 500 billion rand on education. That's the biggest expense item by the Minister of Finance. The second one is interest on state debts, about 400. And then the third one is the various social expenditure items. And just by the way, this year will be the first year where interest will become the second biggest expense item. Previously, it was the various social expenditures that was the second biggest expense item. But looking at education, the biggest expense item, and I've had a compared South Africa's education expenditure to other countries in the world, and South Africa spent a huge amount of money on education in absolute and in relative terms. So that is a fact. So we spend a lot of money on education. If, however, you compare South Africa's quality of education, and there are various, the TIM study and the PIL studies are examples of where South Africa's standard of education is compared to other countries. If you compare our quality of education to other countries in the world, we don't only do bad, we quite often do the worst in the world, especially when it comes to things like maths and science and stuff like that. So we spend a lot, but we get in, we don't get much. The taxpayer certainly is not getting bang for his buck for this. So there is one example where we have to do one or two of two things. Either the quality of education in South Africa must improve dramatically, or we must cut back on how much we spent on education. And I can talk about education for hours because this is my pet subject. But I, for example, would have cut the number of universities by half in South Africa, and I would have spent much more money in primary education, because primary education is what really, really, really matters. But the reason why we can't do that, the reason why we can't get better teachers, because the problem is teachers. Let's be honest and frank about this. Not all of them. I think being a teacher is the most amazing job there is. But not all of them. But the problem is the quality of our teachers. And the quality of our teachers are what it is because of SATU's influence, the Democratic Teachers Union. And they are part of COSATU, of course. And that is part of the tripartite alliance. So that's the problem. So it's not actually state expenditure that is the major problem. It's the quality of state expenditure, and it's politics. That's the issue. And we need strong political leadership to stand up and say, now, who's going to do that? Do you think the DA is going to do that? I doubt that. Do you think the DA is going to stand up and say the quality of our education is bad because of the quality of teachers? Do you think the DA is going to do that? I don't know of any political party that's really got the goons to stand up and criticize the civil service, not only the teachers. But you can do it right through the civil service. You can look at just about any of those various services that the state provides. Look at the quality of police. Is the DA going to stand up and say our police force is corrupt? Is the DA going to stand up and say that our nurses and our hospitals and the state hospitals are not doing what they're supposed to be doing? They're giving bad service? But that's the fact, and that's the truth. And we need political leadership to stand up and say it as it is, that the quality of South Africa's civil service sucks, and we have to do something to improve on that. The taxpayers simply cannot keep on throwing money after this problem.
So where we are at the moment is that the DA are meeting today to decide on whether or not to stay in the government of national unity. That is pretty clear from all of the feedback that we've received. What would your advice to them be?
I would tell them, no, do not give in to this 0.5% increase, and also demand an adjustment, an inflation adjustment to personal income taxes. And then a third demand the reduction in state expenditure. There are plenty of places where you can cut back. So no, don't give in. They've given in far too much, just by the way. The ANC, the DA lost a lot of face until the budget. This is the opportunity for the DA to put their name back on the agenda, because they've lost a lot of support until now. I think they're doing an excellent job. I'm not a great supporter of the DA, but they've been doing an excellent job the last 2 months or so.
So what about Mr. Tlabisa and the IFP, or Corne Mulder and the Freedom Front, and Gayton McKenzie and the Patriotic Alliance? Would it be similar advice to them, or given what Action SA has done, maybe they'll be lining up for goodies?
Well, that's politics, unfortunately. And I guess that's exactly what Action South Africa is there for. They want a position somewhere. And I'm sure some of the other political parties want a favor somewhere else as well. That's what politics is about. I'm an economist. I look at the numbers and I tell them what's good for the country. And what is good for the country is not to give in to the ANC, but to start cut back on state spending. We are heading for a disaster.
So your advice is very clear. Don't bend on this one. This is the bridge on which you die.
Can I tell you what's going to happen, Alec? Either you do it now while you still have some power to make a difference to the budget, or the market's going to force you to do this. This is what's going to happen. The market's going to force you. Make your pick.
How does the market force you?
The market's going to force you. Interest rates are going to go up. The economy's not going to grow. You're not going to get revenue. And in fact, the ANC has been saying, now the ANC has been saying, if you vote for the DA or some other political party, you're going to lose your grants. That's what they've been saying. Well, I promise you, if we keep on keeping the ANC in power the way we have the past 3 years, then I guarantee you we're going to start losing our grants. In fact, last year, the grant increase was below the inflation rate. This year, it was a little bit above the inflation year. But the previous year, it was below the inflation rate. You keep on in this specific economic trajectory in which we are in now, I guarantee you, you're not only going to start losing your grants, because grant increase will be below inflation. Even the civil servants, which we have been getting above inflation increases for far too long, they will also start losing a part of their salaries, because there will not be an inflation plus increase in their salaries anymore, because we will run out of money. Simple. If the economy doesn't grow, there won't be money to keep on funding the state. That's it.
Davie Root is the chief economist of the Efficient Group. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.